Lesson, which will also be our sermon text for today, comes from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. And let me just remind you, this is God's word to us, and he gives it to us because he loves us. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Another said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. As now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let me pray for us before we dive into God's word this morning. Our good and gracious King, we do give you praise and thanks. We do hail you as our King who reigns forever and forevermore. And we confess to you that as we come to your word, that we need to hear from you. We need to hear your voice above all the voices that clamor for our attention, for our allegiances. We ask that we would be able to be quiet, to be still, and to listen by your Holy Spirit to your voice, the voice of love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of my favorite movies of all time is not exactly a happy one. It's Saving Private Ryan. I haven't seen Tom Hanks's latest collaboration World War II movie, but this one has always stood up for me as one that I enjoy coming back to. It's a powerful movie. It was a big motivator for why, when my wife and I got to travel to France back in 2011, we made a trip to Normandy. And there's this saying, not from the movie itself, but relates to it. There's a saying that goes, "The brave man tastes death but once, whereas the coward tastes death many times." The brave man tastes death but once, whereas the coward tastes death many times. And this movie is definitely a depiction of that proverb. Most of the soldiers in the story are brave men from the classic, cynical, sharp-tongued Brooklynite Ryben to the southern-drawled, deadly sniper Jackson, who actually prays to God every time he aims through the scope of his rifle. And they pass through their fights, their battles, without regret because they've conducted themselves well, even though they may die, and even though the violence and absurdity of war is truly, as they say, foobar. Bravery in the face of death, of course, is one of the central themes of this movie, including the portrayal of its opposite, and the coward, Corporal Oppum. Corporal Oppelman, less than 5 minutes, goes from his safe clerical job far away from the front lines and pulled right into the thick of the action when Captain Miller, of course, needs a translator who can speak German, French, and Dutch. And to be fair to Oppam, the guy, he's not prepared for this. He hasn't even fired his weapon since basic training, he confesses to Captain Miller. And now he's supposed to go tromping off through the heart of Nazi-occupied France. So you feel for Oppam. You feel bad for the guy. You realize it's not his fault. It's not, it wasn't his fault that he wasn't prepared or trained necessarily for this sort of thing. And you sort of, have sympathy in your heart for him all the way up until the most excruciating point in the movie. And of course, I hate spoilers, so I won't spoil you in case, I sort of feel like we're outside the statute of limitations on Saving Private Ryan, but, I won't spoil you. I'll just say when we get to this excruciating scene and Oppam is on the screen just weeping and his body being racked with sobs, you just are caught in that moment as the viewer, between just extreme pity for this miserable wretch of a creature and also extreme anger at what he does or doesn't do. And you kind of root that maybe a Nazi will shoot him sometime really soon and put him and us as the viewer out of our collective misery. As you watch this scene, you realize that you are witnessing this proverb that the brave man tastes death but once, while the coward tastes death many times over. And I felt this was appropriate because it's Lent, and so we've been talking a lot about death. Because Lent is a journey to death, following Jesus down his path that leads to his crucifixion. So it's not surprising as Jesus turns his face towards Jerusalem and his death, he talks a lot about facing up to his death. He talks a lot about our deaths and really what really even is death. So it's not unexpected that when some non-Jewish God-fearers are visiting Jerusalem at this time of the High Holy Feast, and they ask to see Jesus, what does Jesus talk about? More death. Listen again to verses 20 to 22. Among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks, so they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Every time I read this, I sort of feel like this is kind of a funny sequence of events. These non-Jewish God-fearers, these Gentiles, they find Philip, but Philip doesn't immediately take them straight away to Jesus. He goes and he finds Andrew instead, and then together Andrew and Philip go and tell Jesus, almost as if they weren't really sure what exactly they were supposed to do about these Greeks, these Gentile God-fearers. And maybe, I don't know, speculation, but maybe because the fame of Jesus has been spreading like wildfire, especially after the raising of Lazarus from the dead and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I don't know, maybe you too have had this feeling, you're not sure really what to do when someone asks you, "Can you show me Jesus?" And we're not really sure how to go about doing that, and maybe we want to go grab someone else. But maybe Philip and Andrew hesitate a little because it seems that every time someone wants to talk about Jesus or talk to Jesus, Jesus starts talking about death again. And that's exactly what he does. He answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also." We sort of feel, like that's maybe what Philip and Andrew is feeling. Like, oh, man. Oh, I knew he was going to do this. Here he goes again. I knew if we brought someone to talk to him, he'd just get on the same tired point where he just talks about death over and over and over. And so Jesus doesn't miss the opportunity. he takes this opportunity to make the point that, yes, I know that the Greeks, the Gentiles who have come here to worship the one true God are going to seek me. In fact, the entire world is going to see me because the hour is now coming when I will be lifted up and I will, in fact, draw all people to myself. But before you go getting the wrong ideas, again, it's not the kind of lifting up you all are thinking of. Jesus is basically saying, I'm not going to be lifted up to a human throne. I'm not going to be seated in a palace made of human hands. I'm not going to be taking on military power and might and authority that you all hope that these signs and wonders that I'm doing are pointing you towards. It's not going to be that moment when you all think I'm going to finally kick the Romans out of the promised land. I'm going to exalt Israel, not the Gentiles that are coming, but Israel back to the top of the world pecking order. Jesus says, no, for a seed to bring forth new life, it must die. I'm going to die in order to bear this fruit of new life. And if you're going to see me rightly, if you're going to follow me truly into the fruit of this new life, then you will have to die as well. And if you think of all this talk of death that Jesus repeatedly keeps coming to over and over again, if you think it was no big deal to Jesus to talk in this way, then think again. I mean, listen to what he says in verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? You know, like the characters of that movie, Saving Private Ryan, you have plenty of moments where you get to see that all their bravery does not mean that they weren't terrified all the time, that they weren't constantly in fear. Jesus is terrified of what's coming. We know that later on the night of his betrayal, Jesus is praying in a garden, pleading with the Father that there be another way, some other way to accomplish what the Lord is doing. It says that he's actually sweating blood in the turmoil of what obedience to the Father and his suffering is going to mean for him. Death is never an easy thing. And yet this is the challenge of following Jesus. Will you come and die as Jesus did for you? Verse 28, he goes on to say, Father, glorify your name. And then there's this voice that comes from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And the crowd that stood there heard it and said, it had thundered. You know, everyone standing around hears the same voice from heaven, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want to receive it. They don't want to believe it. They try to play it off. Is it going to rain? I don't know. I think I heard thunder. Is it supposed to rain today? I'm not sure. But it's no wonder. It's no wonder they didn't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it either. Because like them, even when life and truth is right in front of you in the most vulnerable and powerful ways, we don't want to hear this message. We don't want to hear this because it's too big, it's too powerful. It sounds like something that's trying to kill us. And Jesus says, you're right. It is going to kill you. You know, John goes on in chapter 12 to say that after Jesus said these things, he actually departs and he hides himself for a while. And John says that while Jesus had done so many signs before them, many in the crowds and the religious leaders still did not believe him. But there were some of those, some in power, some in authority, who actually did believe Jesus at this time. But it says they would not confess before others that they did so because they, quote, love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. In chapter 12, verse 43. Because the glory, the life that comes from God only comes through death. Jesus says, come and die, for it is the only way to bring life. Jesus is raised up, but he is raised up on a cross for all the world to see, the Jews and the Greeks, to see the way to life, that like a dead seed he is planted in the ground, but that grain of seed will burst forth on Easter Sunday, Jesus being raised up yet again, that all people may be drawn to him in new resurrection life, life out of death. And so, friends, the fruit of our witness will only come as we too embrace that the way of the cross is the way to life, that the way up is to go down, that if you truly want to ascend, you must first descend. Or as one theologian calls it, it is a way of life that is constantly falling upwards. Embodying the cross and resurrection of Jesus to a world that preaches grabbing life on your own terms, in your own way, avoiding the pain of death and numbing the pain of death at all costs, but only to gain a life that in fact leads to death many times over. Unless a grain of seed falls into the earth and dies, it cannot bear fruit. So maybe a better way to say that proverb that I began with is this: the brave man and the brave woman, they face their death every single day in order that they may have Jesus every single day. And so that all people might see our Lord and Savior and come to him and live. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.